Tonight, shot fired. An off-duty cop caught on camera discharging his gun during a struggle with teenagers. Violent protests erupting in the streets. Tonight, what led to the altercation? Top of the pack, President Trump says he wants to expand U.S. nukes to leave no doubt that America is the number one nuclear power. While his controversial chief strategist steps out of the shadows and into the spotlight, preventing migraines, new hope of stopping crippling headaches before they even start. Winner take all. Only one winning ticket sold in the $435 million Powerball jackpot in a state with quite a lucky streak. And up for sale inside the once scandalous mansion with ties to Jackie Kennedy, now on the market for millions. Nightly news begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening to our viewers in the West, and that's where we start tonight with one of those local disputes that usually go unnoticed outside the neighborhood. A homeowner angered at kids crossing his property. But when that homeowner is a police officer who's caught on camera firing his gun during a run-in with an unarmed 13-year-old, it tends to get a lot of attention. Last night, sending hundreds into the streets of Anaheim, California, in an angry and violent protest. Tonight, a Los Angeles police officer is sidelined, a young teen is shaken, and a restless community is demanding an explanation. NBC's Miguel Almaguer has details.
Let go of me.
Caught on camera. Struggle between an off-duty LAPD police officer and a 13-year-old boy. Though we don't know what happened prior to the recording, the dispute over teens walking across his lawn escalates when the officer is knocked down. He pulls a gun and fires a single shot. The officer has now been placed on leave and his actions are under investigation.
The facts and circumstances known to the officer at the time he or she makes that critical decision to use force, and in this instance, to use deadly force.
Nobody was injured. Two teenagers were arrested and released, including the 13-year-old, who we are not identifying by name.
I thought I was going to die, like, right there. Because like, I thought he was going to shoot me, because he was, like, mad.
Police say the officer had ongoing issues with teenagers on the property.
They don't care. They just don't care about people and property.
The teen's mom says her son was arrested for threatening to shoot the officer.
Say that. Are you right? I said I'm going to sue you.
In reality, he was saying, I'm going to sue you.
The shooting triggered protests that turned violent overnight, property damage, and 23 arrests.
I personally wish the off-duty officer would have awaited our arrival before taking action, but instead he decided to confront the juveniles.
Tonight, investigators are trying to piece together what happened here and whether what they call the use of deadly force was justified.
The officer's home was vandalized during that protest. He has not been named or spoken publicly. Detectives say they believe he fired a shot into the ground and was not aiming at any of the teens. That remains, though, a big part of the investigation. Lester?
All right, Miguel Almaguer in Southern California tonight. Thanks. Just outside the nation's capital, members of the Trump administration dominated the stage at the annual Conservative Political Action Conference ahead of the president's appearance tomorrow. On stage today, a rare public appearance by Steve Bannon, the architect of the Trump campaign, who's quietly worked behind the scenes as the president's chief strategist. Today, however, he spoke out. NBC News White House correspondent Hallie Jackson has details.
Today, a Trump team takeover at a conservative conference. And stepping out of the shadows of the West Wing, one of the president's most trusted advisors in a rare public appearance.
I want to thank you for finally inviting me to CPAC.
That's controversial chief strategist Steve Bannon, the power behind the populist brand that propelled Donald Trump to victory.
Hold us accountable to what we promised. Hold us accountable for delivering on what we promised. If you think they're going to give you your country back without a fight, you are sadly mistaken. Every day, it is going to be a fight.
Side by side with Chief of Staff Reince Priebus, both batting down reports of rifts.
Reince is indefatigable. I mean, it's low key, but it's determination.
If the party and the conservative movement are together, similar to Steve and I,
it can't be stopped.
Despite the president's no-show a year ago at this conference, as a candidate, his advisors argue it's his party now. Like Kellyanne Conway, also facing questions about feminism.
I would tell my three daughters and your daughters, or you, that the job for first female president of the United States remains open. So go for it. This presumptive negativity about women and power, I think, is very unfortunate.
For all the talk of economic nationalism on stage, no tolerance for a different kind of nationalism off it. The white nationalism, popularized by Richard Spencer, who was kicked out today, CPAC organizers explicitly denouncing the fringe movement he helps lead.
They are anti-Semites. They are racists. They are sexists. They are not an extension of conservatism.
Republicans facing more anger at town halls.
If you call yourself a Christian man while you are supporting the policies of a man who wants to grab women by the...
We just had an election 3 months ago when 61% of Arkansans did support him.
Hallie Jackson, NBC News, Oxon Hill, Maryland.
President Trump today also doubled down in his desire to beef up the nation's nuclear punch, saying he wants to expand America's arsenal to make clear the U.S. is, quote, top of the pack. Also today, his Secretary of Homeland Security was on a mission to Mexico with the Secretary of State, where he walked back something the president said that raised eyebrows about deportations. NBC's Peter Alexander has more.
The president today flexing America's muscles on foreign policy, telling Reuters he wants to fortify the U.S.'s nuclear arsenal.
It would be wonderful. A dream would be that no country would have nukes. But if countries are going to have nukes, we're going to be at the top of the pack.
President Trump, who's come under fire for potential ties to Russia, now vowing he'll confront Russian President Vladimir Putin over that country's recent deployment of a cruise missile, a move that violated a decades-old arms control treaty. That potential showdown coming as the Trump administration tries to defuse a standoff with Mexico. Demonstrators there torching a fake wall overnight, highlighting real tensions. The latest flashpoint, Mr. Trump's new deportation policies.
We're getting gang members out. We're getting drug lords out. We're getting really bad dudes out of this country. And it's a military operation.
That comment today quickly contradicted by the president's head of Homeland Security, John Kelly, in Mexico.
There will be no, repeat, no mass deportation. No, repeat, no use of military force in immigration operations. None.
The White House later clarifying the meaning of military operation.
The president was using that as an adjective. It's happening with precision.
Among Mexico's complaints that the U.S. plans to deport anyone who illegally crosses the border back to Mexico, even if they're not Mexican. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson dispatched with Kelly to deal with the difficulties.
I said, that's going to be a tough trip, because we have to be treated fairly by Mexico.
Tillerson trying to translate President Trump's tough talk into diplomacy.
Two strong sovereign countries from time to time will have differences.
And emphasizing the divide between the two allies, many Mexican lawmakers were demanding that President Peña Nieto refuse to meet with Secretaries Tillerson and Kelly today. But ultimately, that meeting did happen. So far, no public comments from either side on what, if anything, was accomplished. Lester?
Peter Alexander, thank you. The president's Treasury Secretary, Steven Mnuchin, said today he expects to see what he called very significant tax reform by August, focused, he said, on a middle-income tax cut and simplifying taxes for business. And Wall Street responded, the Dow posting its 10th straight record close after the Treasury Secretary's remarks. And the focus was jobs today as the president met with the CEOs of two dozen manufacturing companies. He asked for their help in coming up with ways to bring back jobs lost to foreign competition. Some of the executives pointed out that while manufacturing jobs are available, worker skills are lacking. But other companies are challenging that and hiring. NBC's Kevin Tibbles went to one of them.
In DeForest, Wisconsin, humans and robots work side by side.
Is manufacturing in America dead?
I hope not. I hope not.
EFCO Plastics has more than 1,000 employees in 9 facilities, 5 in the U.S., 3 in Mexico, and 1 in China.
Is it a matter of survival for you?
Oh, yes.
And in the U.S., EFCO's Dale Evans says he needs a lot more than unskilled labor.
That work's gone. That work's gone.
Is it coming back?
I don't believe so. And I don't think it should come back.
While some fear American manufacturing is on its last legs, on this shop floor, they say it's simply evolving.
Bernie Degenhart started at EVCO while still in high school.
How close is that collaborative robot to be operational?
The company sent him to college, where he earned a degree in mechanical engineering.
I embrace the global economy. It's here. You can't fight, right? So be competitive, do the right things, and you have to win.
But for Evans, using tariffs to discourage foreign manufacturing could do more harm than good.
Think before we act. You know, look at everything, because it's I think it's good to have a strong Mexico and a strong Canada.
His business is up 40% since 2007. They are making more with fewer people, but they continue to hire.
They got to have skills to do those jobs, and really that's what we want to pay for, too.
Here, it is an educated workforce that will win the day for American manufacturing. Kevin Tibbles, NBC News, DeForest, Wisconsin.
Overseas, a critical milestone in a major offensive underway against ISIS as U.S.-backed Iraqi forces recaptured most of the airport in Mosul, the country's second-largest city. It's a crucial turning point in an operation that's been going on for months now. More from our chief foreign correspondent, Richard Engel.
U.S.-backed Iraqi forces are breaking through ISIS's line of defense in Iraq. After nearly 4.5 months, Iraqi troops backed by American military advisors with them on the front lines calling in airstrikes finally took over the airport in the city of Mosul, ISIS's biggest stronghold in Iraq. But the offensive is not over. A top U.S. official said it could take another 2 or 3 days to secure the airport. Western Mosul remains an ISIS safe haven. Iraqi forces already control the eastern half of the city. They now plan to use the airport in southwest Mosul as a staging area to fight against the thousands of ISIS fighters believed to be holed up in the city. A senior U.S. military official told NBC News the bulk of ISIS fighters could be driven out of Mosul within 2 months. The airport was once a major U.S. base. In 2004, suicide bombers killed more than 20 American soldiers in the chow hall at lunchtime. At the time, we too saw how dangerous it was, with snipers and suicide bombers attacking American and Iraqi convoys nearly every time they left the wire. Iraqi troops are now back at the Mosul airport, this time supported by American soldiers. But they're so close, the Pentagon this week said they are taking casualties. Lester.
Richard Engel. Thank you, Richard. While much of this country has enjoyed an unusual warm spell, things are about to change. Those warm temperatures are fueling storms in the Midwest, with 30 million at risk for severe weather tomorrow, including some large hail and possible tornadoes. 12 million people in 11 states are under winter storm alerts from Idaho to Michigan. Lottery officials in Indiana are waiting for someone to claim the first Powerball jackpot of the year, a whopping $435 million. A single winning ticket was sold in Indiana, a state with quite an amazing winning streak. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez is there and has more.
Tonight, a mystery in the land of Hoosiers.
This is Powerball.
The search is on for the latest Powerball winner in what may be the luckiest state in the nation.
So exciting. So super exciting.
Melinda Carter is the manager at a super test in Lafayette and may have sold the winning ticket. The jackpot, about $435 million before taxes, if taken in one lump sum, more than $263 million.
I got a phone call that our store was the winning ticket. That's where it was sold. So, and it's just been crazy ever since.
Over the years, Indiana has had 39 Powerball jackpot winners, beating out Missouri and Minnesota.
What is it about Indiana that makes you so lucky?
The corn. I don't.
Ah, yes, the Hoosier State, known for corn and cars, the hometowns of Letterman and the King of Pop. These days, these parts are dancing to a different tune.
I think it's great. Everybody's vibrant and wondering who it is.
But with the thrill of victory comes the agony of defeat. Jamal Bowler is a regular customer here who bought his Powerball ticket today.
I wish I was there that last night when they sold that ticket. That would have been perfect.
so close. Turns out 1 in 10 jackpot winners are from Indiana. This was the state's largest jackpot ever, the 7th biggest in the U.S. The winner has 6 months to claim the prize, and Lester, they can choose to remain anonymous.
So we may never know. All right, Gabe, thanks very much. Still ahead tonight, the exciting news about a common and debilitating medical problem, what may finally be a way to prevent migraine headaches. We'll be right back. We're back now with new hope for the estimated 35 million Americans who suffer from migraines. These debilitating headaches affect 3 times as many women than men. But there's an exciting new drug that tests show can prevent migraines before they start. NBC's Katie Beck has details.
When you live with chronic migraine headaches, it's hard to focus on anything else. Lynn Kaufman has suffered the paralyzing pain 3 to 4 times a week since age 12.
I could feel it creeping up on me.
What was it like to wake up with a migraine?
I felt as though my head was a cement block.
Every possible remedy exhausted. Dozens of different doctors.
These are all the drugs for when I have a migraine.
Those drugs made her feel sedated and couldn't stop the headaches from returning with a vengeance.
Hello there.
But her life saw a seismic shift, yes, thanks to neurologist David Kudrow.
For the first time, we've been attacking migraine in preventive therapy with a very, very specific medication.
That medication is part of a new class of drugs designed specifically to target migraines. Regular injections block chemicals in the body that spike during a migraine attack with minimal side effects.
This is a big breakthrough.
It's a huge breakthrough.
Dr. Kudrow is one of hundreds of doctors investigating these drugs. Preliminary studies sponsored by one drug maker show patients had 3 to 4 fewer migraine days each month. For Kaufman, the drug was life-changing.
I've never, until this time, experienced a migraine-free life.
The FDA could approve the drug as soon as 2018, but it's expected to be expensive, up to $10,000 a year. But for the millions who suffer migraines, it's perhaps the cost of freedom.
The idea that I can go through life and not have that be an issue in my life is incredible.
Now finding a new focus for the future. Katie Beck, NBC News, Los Angeles.
Up next for us tonight, terrifying moments when a plane came in for a landing in rough weather. A liberal voice on the Fox News Channel has died. Alan Colmes was a fixture on Fox, best known for his role on the Hannity and Colmes program. For a dozen years, he was the liberal foil to the right wing, Sean Hannity. Earlier in his career, Colmes worked in stand-up comedy and talk radio, mostly in New York. Alan Colmes was 66 years old. A major scare for passengers on a plane coming in for a landing in powerful winds at an airport in Amsterdam. Video shows it wobbling toward the runway and then crash when the landing gear collapses. The airline, Flybe, says no one was injured. Also caught on camera, a trainer at a wildlife park in China was using a drone to try and exercise a group of tigers, but when the drone flew too close, the tiger swatted it out of the sky and then tried to snack on it until it started smoking, and that drove them away. And up next tonight, the famous old house now up for sale, complete with 10 bedrooms, a scandalous past, and a Kennedy connection. Finally tonight, it comes with 10 bedrooms, 7.5 baths, and that's just the beginning. There's history in this home, including scandal and guests who included Jackie Kennedy and Hollywood stars. Now it's up for sale for the first time in almost 40 years. NBC's Ann Thompson takes us inside.
Behind East Hampton's hedges, where the rich celebrate summer, sits its most famous and once infamous house, Grey Gardens, now for sale. It inspired an HBO movie.
This is the best thing to wear for today, you understand.
A Broadway musical. All based on the cult documentary. Capturing the mother-daughter duo whose squalid lifestyle amid feral cats created a scandal in the 70s. The Beals, Big Edie and Little Edie, were the eccentric relatives of Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis.
Famous Grey Gardens missed.
Author and journalist Sally Quinn bought the house 38 years ago from Little Edie.
She gave this little pirouette in the middle of the hall, and she said, yes, all it needs is a coat of paint.
Hardly. Her $220,000 investment in 1979, after renovations, is now offered at $20 million. inside touches wink at its notorious past, while outside, even in February, the gardens sparkle. Jerry Torrey was a handyman and house guest here 40 years ago.
This was draped with cobwebs, and some of these were missing. Buster and his family loved coming through that, which wasn't there, that door.
Buster?
Yes.
The raccoon?
Yes. He was pretty docile. Like
an ocean. As the Beals did when things were good, Quinn and her husband, the legendary Washington Post editor Ben Bradley, filled the house with family and famous friends.
I felt magic in that house.
Magic, interwoven with American popular culture. Oh, if these walls could talk. Ann Thompson, NBC News, East Hampton, New York.
And that's going to do it for us on this Thursday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching, and good night.